really appreciate that. Having said that, let's get into the word. You don't have to sin. We began talking about the reasons that you don't have to sin. So let's start with that. If you have your notes, you can pull those out right quick. The first thing is that we share the Lord God Almighty divine nature. The 2 Peter 1:4, it lets us know that we have become partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. We share his divine nature. I've added some scripture to that. So having said that, again, the reason that we don't have to sin is because we are a partaker of his divine nature. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Let's look at that. Ephesians 4:24. And it reads, "And put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness and of truth." Again, Ephesians 4:24 says, "And put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." Again, we're talking about being a sharer or a partaker of his divine nature. So when you look at verse 24 of Ephesians 4, it says, "Which in the likeness of God have been created." What's been created? We go back to the beginning of that verse. The new self has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Aren't those definitely characteristics of the divine nature? Righteousness and holiness of the truth. And we've been made, the new self is in the likeness of God in those attributes, hence a sharer, or we share in the attributes and characteristics of the divine nature. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and look at verse 10. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10. And again, I'm reading from the New American Standard. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10. And it reads, "For they disciplined us," talking about earthly fathers, "for a short time as seemed best to them. But he," talking about our Heavenly Father, "disciplines us for our good so that we may share his holiness." And that's something. We share his holiness. We share in the likeness of God, having been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. We share in that. Sharers of the divine nature. And by the way, just a little side note, we begin sharing the divine nature when we are born again. When we are born again, or when we are born from above. When we are born again, or born from above, we then become sharers of his divine nature. And that's when that happens. So the first thing that we must remember as to why we don't have to sin is because we are a partaker, a sharer of the divine nature, meaning we are a partaker or a sharer of the eternal divine attributes of our Heavenly Father, his righteousness, his holiness, and his truth, among other things. The second reason why we don't have to sin, and this is our review, is that we have the same power. We have the same power and Holy Spirit that Jesus had when he was here while walking on this earth. We are our partakers, partakers, we could use that word again, of the same power and the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had while he was here walking on this earth. Let's go back to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts 10:38, and again, this is our review. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Go back to the beginning of that verse, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, one, with power, two. Remember that, Holy Spirit, power. Now, turn over to Acts chapter 8, or turn backwards to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And it reads, but you will receive, here it is, power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will share, and you will be my witnesses, or you will testify of me and bear witness both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's the same power that Jesus received in Acts 10:38. And it's the same Holy Spirit that Jesus was anointed with in Acts 10:38. And at the end of Acts 10:38, it says, for God was with him. And as God was with Jesus while he sojourned on this earth, God is with us here today as we sojourn on this earth. So why is it then that we don't have to sin? One, we're sharers of his divine nature. Two, we have the same power and same Holy Spirit that Jesus had when he was here on the earth. Three, we have divine help. We have divine help. John 16:7 says, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. Who is him? The helper. Who is that? The Holy Spirit. Skip down to verse 13, same chapter of John 16. But when he, the Spirit of truth, now it identifies the helper, the Spirit of truth. When he comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own initiative, or on his own behalf, or even on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. That is the Spirit of truth, who is the helper. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. This is our review. Hebrews 13:6. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? The Lord is my helper. We can confidently say that. And the only way that we can confidently say that is by understanding and knowing that the Lord is our helper. Okay. So, I was just told to slow down. Sorry. Okay. Hold on one second. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41. I'm adding a couple of scriptures in there. We had gone over Hebrews 13 and 6, but I want to add a couple more that we have divine help. Look at Isaiah 41. One of the reasons I was kind of going through that kind of jet speed, because it was our review, except when some notes have been added or some scripture cross references have been added, then I'll slow down a little bit. But amen. Glory be to God. Isaiah 41, verse 13. Isaiah 41, verse 13. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. That is some really good news. This is coming from our Heavenly Father himself, although he's talking through Isaiah to the people of God. That certainly would include us today. The Lord is telling us again, the Lord, your God, he says, for I, the Lord, your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. What a time for this message or this verse to come across our eyes and our hearts and our minds. Fear not, as you have the coronavirus floating all over the world, and there is a temptation to fear. You just have to know who your Heavenly Father is. We have to know who he is. And when he tells us to fear not, I will help you, then guess what we're to do? Fear not. He says he will help us. And not only did he just say, fear not, don't be afraid, but he tells us why. I will help you. God himself personally telling us, I will help you. That is profound. I mean, if you could think of anybody in the world, you know, you're in trouble and somebody comes in and says, hey man, I got you. And they're able to get you out of that trouble or keep you from trouble that's trying to happen to you, you're going to feel super fantastic. But how about our Heavenly Father himself telling you to fear not, I will help you. That's incredible. Let's go back to verse 10 of Isaiah 41. Skip back to verse 10. It says, fear not. There it is again. Why? Because I'm with you. Be not dismayed. What timing? For I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That righteous right hand is a hand of power and authority. Amen. You know, that's all anthropomorphic, meaning that we are assigning to a divine, eternal, immortal being human qualities so that we can get a better understanding of what he's trying to tell us. So it's not that God literally has right hand and right and left hands and so forth, but it's letting us know that he will uphold us. He will strengthen us. So don't be afraid. Don't fear. I'm with you. I am your God, and I will help you. What promises are those right now, especially in a time like this? You mean even with the coronavirus, we aren't to be afraid? That's exactly right. He didn't say, fear not, except when the coronavirus comes around. Fear not, period. Why? Because he's going to help us. There's nothing that can happen to us that God can't help us with. That's extremely good news. And of course, keeping it in the context of the sermon today, the subject matter of you don't have to sin, I will help you in that area where you don't have to sin. If I'm helping you and you accept my help, then you don't have to sin. You don't have to give in to sin. That's good news. So why is it that we don't have to give in to sin? Well, one, we share his divine nature. Two, we have the same exact power and Holy Spirit that Jesus had while he was here walking on the earth. Three, we have divine help. Just went over that. The fourth reason is the divine help that we have will never leave us. Will never leave us. Let's go back to Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 5. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 5. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 5. And it reads, make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Yeah, it has to be in order to do anything for the Lord. Being content with what you have, for he himself has said, here this personal promise, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. And we've gone over that several times. Remember, that's tripled up in the Greek. I will never, ever, never, ever, never, ever leave you nor forsake you. And that means to desert and forsake you in your time of need. Dire need, that you're in dire straits. Things are not going well. The Lord God says, I will never leave you. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 28. This is still review and some sprinkled in, some new scriptures sprinkled in as well. Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse 19. Matthew, the 28th chapter and the 19th verse. Glory be to God in the highest. And it reads, Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse 19, reads, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, behold, it's like to say, we will say today, check this out and make sure you are aware of this fact. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am always in the present tense. Not I was, not I will be, but I am, not I'm going to be. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. There is never a time that he will desert you nor forsake you. And we are so glad of that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Another reason, this one we did not cover last time, another reason that we should not sin is because we've been given inside intel, if you will, to how Satan operates. Okay, so we're not ignorant. We're not lacking knowledge concerning the devices used by Satan, how he operates, his modus operandi, the tools, the weapons, the tricks, the schemes that he uses against us constantly, day in and day out. We are not ignorant of those things, and that's very good news. Look at 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 11. 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 11. So I'm saying here that we have inside intel concerning how our enemy operates. Intel, intelligence. We have inside intelligence concerning how Satan operates. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. And it reads, lest Satan should take advantage of us, and he would. And in the verses previous, it's telling us that we're to forgive. And if we don't do it, if we don't forgive, Satan has an opportunity to take advantage of us. But thank God, we are not ignorant of his devices. We are not ignorant. We don't lack knowledge. We don't lack the wisdom. We don't lack the understanding of his devices, his schemes, his tricks. That is tremendous encouragement for us who are fighting this fight every day. The Holy Spirit himself gives us insight. Remember in the Gospel of John, I think it was the 16th chapter we read today, that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide us into all truth. He will show us things to come. And so those are great promises, if you will, that sort of give us the behind the scenes of this verse about not being ignorant of Satan's devices. He shows us things to come. He guides us into all truth. We know Satan is trying to guide us in everything that is false, that is that would take away from the glory of God and so forth. And so when the Holy Spirit, here's why we don't have to sin concerning this particular factor, if you will. When the Holy Spirit shows us things to come, as he guides us into all truth, we then must take advantage by listening to the Holy Spirit and letting him show us the device or devices that Satan has laid out for us to trap us in sin. And so we're able then to avoid those traps and to walk around them or over them without stepping in them. And therefore we can maintain our godliness and our righteousness and continue to bring him praise, glory, and honor. These are crucial, crucial reasons as to why we don't have to sin. And I don't know about you, but this is really encouraging for me, but at the same time, it's also toe-crushing and convicting, because when you look at your day and you look at your life and over the last few hours and weeks and months, and you hear these reasons why, and you think about, wow, how much we have failed the Lord over and over and over again when we didn't have to, it's quite convicting. And I thank God for this teaching, and it's a blessing. Even though it is convicting and toe crushing, it is definitely an encouragement to step up, not necessarily our game per se, but to step up in using the power of the Holy Spirit on our behalf in order to bring God praise, honor, and glory. So we don't have to sin because we have his divine nature. We have the same power and Holy Spirit. We have divine help. This help will never leave. And we also have inside intel concerning how the Holy Spirit operates in Jesus' name. Here's another reason. Another reason we don't have to sin is because God the Father personally lives inside of us. He personally lives inside of us. God the Father lives inside of us. Meaning what? Well, we don't have to go get him when something happens. We don't have to, call him, as they say, call him on the main line, and then the line is busy, if you will. It's none of those things, anything of that nature. He lives inside of us right now. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. I hope I have slowed down some. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, and it reads, "Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell, live, abide, take up residence in them, and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord." Come out from what? The world, the ways of the world, thinking like the world, speaking like the world, acting like the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Come out from among that. The world's way of speaking, thinking, and acting. The world's viewpoint, how they see things. Come out from all of that and be separate, says the Lord. That's sanctification. That's holiness. To be separate, distinct, different, other than. Come out and be separate. And notice the emphasis. Come out from their midst. He could have just stopped there. Come out, remove yourself. But he emphasizes, and be separate. In case you didn't understand, come out, then let me help you so that you'll understand. Come out and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. Verse 18, and I will be a father to you. You shall be sons and daughters to me. Who is saying this? Says the Lord Almighty. Thank you, Father. Thank you. What a promise. I'll be your father. I dwell in you. I live in you. I'm inside of you. That's why I don't leave you. I'm inside and I'm there to stay. Secondly, well, let's look at that. We're partakers of, we went over all of that divine nature, same power, divine help. The help will never leave. We had inside intelligence. God lives in us. Yes. Not only that, but God the Son lives in us. God the Father lives in us. God the Son lives in us. First, let's go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Glory be to God in the highest. Thank you, Father. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. And it reads, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is the mystery among the Gentiles? Here it is, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. God says that I will dwell in them. The mystery amongst the Gentiles is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, of our being glorified upon his return. What good news is that? Christ lives in us. God the Son lives in us. God the Father lives in us. And thirdly, don't worry, we're not going to forget the Holy Spirit. The third person of the Trinity lives in us. God the Holy Spirit lives in us. God the Father lives in us. God the Son lives in us. God the Holy Spirit lives in us. We've said it for years, decades actually, well, a decade and a half, that we travel with a gang of three. God the Father who lives in us, God the Son who lives in us, and God the Holy Spirit who lives in us. But I want to pray right now, Father God, that we understand, break through our walls, if you will, of fully believing this, to help us to fully believe this, rather. Break through that we could fully understand and believe this, that the Trinity lives in us. Help us to get that in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit lives in us. That's 1 John chapter 4. You read this many a time. Verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Thank you, Father. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Help us to get it, Father. We need you. You are from God, little children. Thank you, Father, that we are from you. And have overcome them. Because greater, right? Stronger, mightier, more powerful-er, not the word, but it is today, is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And the he that is in us is the Holy Spirit. If you go back to verse 1, it talks about trying the spirits to see whether they are from God. And that we know that we have the spirit, the right spirit, if you will. And that spirit is the one who lives in us. This is talking about the Holy Spirit. You have the Trinity. I have the Trinity. We have the Trinity living inside of us right now. So we share his divine nature. We have the same power and Holy Spirit. We have divine help. This help will never leave. And the Trinity dwells, lives, abides, has taken up residence in us. That's good news. If that's not enough as to why we shouldn't sin, and that we don't have to sin, rather, how about this one? We are personally, strengthened by God himself. We are personally strengthened by God himself. Now we're no longer reviewing. Now we're going into, because all of that was review. Amen. So we are, say it again, we are personally strengthened by God himself. Isn't that good news? For that, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And it reads, finally, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord and in the strength, power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. King James, power of his might. Let's look at be strong. Finally, be strong. That rendering that we're so used to, be strong, can lead to what I call the grit your teeth anointing. In other words, it can encourage one to involve themselves in self-effort to be strong. And you grit your teeth and I can do this. I'm gonna be strong. I'm gonna make it power through this. So that really is not the best interpretation. A better rendering, because the word the be strong, what it really means, it says the definition, the Greek definition of this is to make strong or to be strengthened. This verb in the Greek is in the passive voice, meaning that you're being acted upon. You're not producing the action. You're being acted upon. Somebody's doing something to you or for you. Okay? It's not you going out there doing something. It's about you trusting God to do to you, which is strengthen you. So the verb is passive. It's in the passive voice. That's what passive voice means. And it means to be continually strengthened. So what it is, what it's saying is, be strong or be continually strengthened in the Lord. Be continually strengthened in the Lord. It's continuous. How can we be continually strengthened in the Lord? Through his word, through prayer, through meditation and obedience. Through that, we will be constantly nourished and strengthened and empowered and made powerful by the Lord and in the strength of his might. He has enough strength in his might to strengthen all of his children at the same time. It's not like I need a lot of strength here because I'm going through stage 4 cancer, and then somebody else over in Tibet needs strength, but the Lord said, okay, no, you got to wait till I get him through this, then I'll replenish my strength to come help you. No, there's enough strength for all of us at the same time. Be strong, be strengthened, be made strong in the Lord. Be strengthened in him, not your power, not your might. Ungrit your teeth. In Jesus' name, I command you to ungrit your teeth. You can't do it on your own. You can't ever do it on your own. I can't ever do it on my own. We can never do it on our own. We are super weak. We are nothing. And I think it's in Daniel. We are less than nothing when we're compared to the majesty and the glory and the power and might and sovereignty of God. Glory be to God. Let him strengthen us. That's how we do it. That's how we get through this. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Look at Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. We're still talking about being strengthened in the Lord. Being strengthened in the Lord. I kind of laugh at myself. Oh Lord, I came what I was telling us that before, and the message came up saying you playing copyrighted music and you got to shut this down, and the thing just stops on us. And next door, the TV for Sister Rolanda and Grandma Harris wasn't working. And you know, it's okay to be weak and limited. And, you know, it is what it is. You know, that's one of the things I learned at the Shepherd's Conference, was just to, you know, glory in your weakness. You know, all my life, really, and I have a confession to make right here. I've tried to just look strong and be strong, and, you know, didn't like signs of weakness or confusion or being unprepared. And, man, well, unprepared is not an excuse, so that, I'll take that one out. But, you know, looking weak and being scared and all, man, he embraces that. It's our strength, if you will, that gets in God's way. Apostle Paul said, I'll glory in my weakness. So what, you're nervous? And the TV didn't work right, and you didn't know not to play Bach music, and, you know, and the thing had to shut down and start over. It's all right. He's still Lord. He is still on the throne. He embraces a broken and a contrite spirit. That's what we are. We're broken. We're weak. We're limited. Going back to the prayer that I pray, encourage you to pray to help me to be continually conscious of my own feebleness, my weakness, my limitations, and my shortcomings, and to distrust my own powers, might, ability, and strength, and to always, always look to you for aid, help, support, and strength. Always. It's okay to be weak. Embrace it. And that's something new for me. It's freeing for me. And I tell you, I wasn't born with a halo. I wasn't born a pastor. You know, it's freeing for me. That if I didn't learn anything else at the Shepherd's Conference, and if the Lord wanted me to go whatever 3,000 miles, wherever far it is, to learn that one thing, it is one of the greatest things that I've learned in my life, is to embrace your weakness. Apostle Paul said, most gladly then, I'll boast in my weaknesses, my shortcomings, my infirmities, my limitations. Because then the power of Christ rests upon me. It's not about being strong. It's about resting in his strengthening of you. I'm going to say that again. I hope I can. It's not about you showing strength and being strong and gritting your teeth. It's about you resting in him strengthening you and then walking in that strength. Oh, Father God, help us to get that. Help me to get that. Help me to get that. Isaiah 41 and 10. Did you find that yet? Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear not. We read this, but I want to emphasize a different portion, a different promise. And so there are plenty of promises. For I am with you. Now that's another. Remember, you almost all of the reason why we shouldn't sin and why we don't have to sin are written almost in this one verse. Fear not, I'm with you. We talked about that. He's with us. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. He's our God who lives in us. I will strengthen you. There it is. I, God, will strengthen you. And it's almost like between the white space between you and the next word, is a, in between that and that white space, we'll say something like, really? For real? And then he come back and says, yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand. Yes, you're going to strengthen me? Yes, I will help you. Why? You're my child. You belong to me. I am your father. I will never leave you. I will never desert you. I am on your side. That's another reason. I didn't have that one in there. That's Psalm 118, verse 6. You can write that one down somewhere. The Lord is on your side. He's on my side. He's on our side. That's another reason why we don't have to sin. The Lord is for us. And if he's for us, who can be against us? Psalm 23 and 1, another reason why. Because he's our shepherd, protector, provider, and guide. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And therefore, we don't lack for proper care that a great shepherd gives his sheep. He strengthens us. He strengthens us. Yes, he helps us, and he'll hold us up. Glory be to God. So why is it that we don't have to sin? Because we share his divine nature. We have the same power in Holy Spirit. We have divine help. And this help will never leave. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all dwell in us. I skipped the one that we have inside intelligence as to how Satan operates. And we are personally strengthened by God himself. Personally strengthened by God himself. I'm doing this personally. Another reason why we don't have to sin is we have access to the armor of God. We have access to the armor of God. And then we'll stop right here. We have access to the armor of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Access to the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Thank you, Father. Let's, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Hold on 1 second, please. Okay. All right. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Let's read that again. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Now, when I say we have access to the full armor of God, there's several things we could have gone in this verse, just on this verse alone, about why we don't have to sin. So let's dig into this verse. We'll exegete it. Let's start there. Put on means to envelop. To envelop, to completely clothe oneself. To clothe oneself, to envelop. The full armor, not just the armor, full armor, whole armor, some translations have. Panoplia, P-A-P as in Papa, A-N as in November, O, P-L-I-A, P-A-N-O-P-L-I-A, panoplia. That's a Greek word. And it is a compound Greek word made up of two words after compound. Pas, which means whole, P-A-S, P-A-S, pas, which means whole, and hoplon, which means weapon. So literally in the Greek, the whole armor is literally all the weapons. Take advantage of all the weapons. That's something we don't do. or take advantage of part of the weapons. The word panoplia, and this is crucial in getting victory over sin and maintaining victory over sin. I know this is where I failed in my life and probably in yours. The word panoplia, P-A-N-P-O-P-L-I-A, panoplia, which means whole armor from pons and hoplon. This word is from panoplos, P-A-N-O-P-L-O-S, panoplos. That word panoplos means wholly armed, wholly armed, in full armor or complete armor. Panoplos again is wholly armed, comma, in full armor, comma, complete armor. Right? So that would mean the shield, the sword, the helmet, the breastplate, the gospel shoes, the belt, and so forth. All of that would include the full, whole armor. Whose armor is this? Of God. Put on the full armor of God. Here's something that's vitally important. Yes, this armor comes from God and is provided by God. And yes, he is the source of this armor. He is a source from whence, if you will, comes our weaponry. Okay, it is of God and by God and provided by God, and he is a source from whence comes our weaponry. However, listen closely, please. Of God, quotes, is not in the emphatic position. In other words, emphasis is not the fact that it comes from God. The emphasis is in the beginning of verse 11. Let's go back to the verse beginning. Put on the whole armor. That's what's in the beginning. What we are to do is that we are to put on the whole armor, the entire armor, the complete armor, the full armor of God. We can get twisted up in of God and miss the fact that we need that full armor. And that's where we get victory. One of my favorite commentators is Kenneth Veust, W-E-U-S-T, the W is like a V sound, W-E-U-S-T, Kenneth Veust. He comments on this verse. To put the emphasis on the words of God is to miss the point, which I've missed. The emphasis, the emphatic thing, as most exegetes notice, is that is the panoplian. Remember him talking about panoplia? Well, he is saying that the is the panoplian. He said, let me say this again and read this again. Kenneth Veust, to put the emphasis on the words of God is to miss the point. The emphatic thing, as most exegetes notice, people who break the word of God down, notice, is the panoplian. What is that? The idea, the panoplian is a whole armor. Okay? The emphatic thing, again, reading it again, the emphatic thing, as most exegetes notice, is the panoplian, the emphasis on the whole armor. He goes on to say, the idea being that we need not only divine equipment, yes, the equipment, the armor, the tools, the weaponry, it must be divine. Okay? 2 Corinthians 10 lets us know that our weapons are natural and from this world, but mighty through God, divine. So, yes, it is divine. He said, again, the idea being that we need not only divine equipment, comma, We need that equipment in its completeness without the lack of any single part. That's a revelation for me. I've been reading this verse probably 50 years. Know it. Put on the whole armor of God. We've read it many times. Just read it and read it and read it. I have. But here, with this commentary, it just brings the emphasis where it belongs. Yes, it must be divine, but we need it. We need all of it. He didn't say in verse 10, put on the armor of God, but his whole armor, the complete armor. So I'm gonna read it again. Kenneth V's comment, this is crucial. To put the emphasis on the words of God is to miss the point. And the reason it causes us to miss the point, word of life, is because then we'll just kind of go into sometimes the misapplication of that statement, let go and let God. And we just sit back and let God just do what he do. That's why it's crucial that if we just focus on, well, it's God's armor, it's going to just, you know. No, if you lock in on that, it's to miss the point. Keep rereading again Kenneth Vist's comment. The emphatic thing, as most exegetes notice, is the panoplian. The idea being that we need not only divine equipment, comma, but we need that equipment in its completeness without the lack of any single part. That's why we still sin, you and I. We're not focusing on making sure that the entire armor, the complete armor, not lacking in any single part, is enveloped and clothed upon us. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Kenneth Vist goes on to say, the fact is this, that in order to meet our spiritual foe, we need to take to ourselves all that God provides for living and for overcoming. That's how we win against sin. Read it again. Kenneth Vist. The fact is this, that in order to meet our spiritual foe, we need to take to ourselves all that God provides for living and for overcoming. We need to take to ourselves ALL, all that God provides. The whole armor, the full armor, the complete armor without the lack of any single part. Word of life, why wouldn't we take advantage of all that God provides? And then why don't we? Ignorance is one thing, lacking knowledge. Carelessness, just not believing sin is that big of a deal. Not understanding that the whole armor means the whole armor. I mean, it wasn't like Apostle Paul just picked up the pen one day and just said, let me just put in the whole armor, you know, whatever, you know, it's of God, so let's, you know, it's got to be good, you know. No, these are carefully chosen words from God himself, right? All scriptures God breathed. God said through the pen of the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus, put on the whole armor of God, the complete armor, the entire armor, without the lack of any single part. God said that. And this is as toe-crushing for me as anything. The desire, I guess, the understanding, the, you know, the just understanding that, Lord, help me to keep this whole armor on all the time. Father God, that's a prayer for us here at Word of Life. Help us to keep on the whole armor, the full armor, the complete armor, without the lack of any single part. Put it on to envelop ourselves, to be clothed in it. And when we do all of that, then it says, and here it is, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. To stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And we'll pick up with that next time in Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the use of technology for good, to spread your word, to bring you glory. I pray a fervent prayer to help us to put on and keep on the whole armor of God. Thank you for encouraging us that we don't have to sin. We don't have to sin. We don't have to. We don't have to. We've been equipped, over-equipped, if I may say. We can win every single time. There's no failure in the weaponry. No failure in the armory. The failure is in us. Never in you, Father. Help us to realize that. Help me to realize that. And we'll be ever so mindful and very careful to give you all the praise, glory, and honor. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling. See? You can do that. Present us faultless before the presence of your glory with exceeding joy. You are the only wise God, our Savior. Be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both right now, in time, and forevermore in eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a quick note. Lord willing, we will have a Bible class on Wednesday. We will have Bible class on Wednesday. So I'm changing that. Our group is small enough. Just a quick note about the coronavirus. Don't let it put you in fear. We read today, don't fear not. Yeah, be sensible, but not to the point of fear where you're paralyzed and you can't go outside and can't help anybody. You know, that kind of fear doesn't bring God glory. He says, fear not. He's bigger than any virus. Yeah, wash your hands, throw on a little bit of whatever stuff you, whatever that stuff is. That's cool. Do your due diligence on that, but don't get into fear. God is still on the throne. He's still running things here. You be led, help who you're supposed to help, love who you're supposed to love, and do necessary things that bring God glory in Jesus' name. Also, I just want to say something too. You know, someone said, man, ooh, boy, I wish they would start Facebook Live every Sunday. Man, I could just stay home and just watch it on, oh man, I mean, you know. But no, that's not going to work out. You know, some folks may say, hey, I listen to Facebook Live. I'm good. You know, I got tapes. I got books. I got, you know, I listen to CDs every day, every night, and 9 times on Sunday. And therefore, you know, I'm good. I don't need to come in. But I want to show you something in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and why this is not to substitute or anything else. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. You're going to find it. Glory be to God. Show me, Father, where it is, where we are commanded to basically go to church, to actually go and be with the body of believers. Let's see. Because what was happening is that what was happening was that the church was suffering great persecution, and people were, saints were being killed. And what happened was is that folks were scared to come to church, and even though that was going on, and but there was no I mean, the Holy Spirit is such a gangster that you know, he didn't give him a break. And even though that was the case, he didn't give him any break, and he told him, forsake not the assembling of yourself together, you know, as a manner of some is, but even we're to do it even more and more, as we see the day approaching. So not only are we supposed to go to church less, we're supposed to go more and more. And, I don't know, my thing is not working right here. Yeah, but we're supposed to go more and more as we see the day approaching. And so this is not to take the place of, you know, actually being in the body of believers. We're supposed to be there with one another, to encourage one another, to uplift one another. It's a body, and so therefore, staying home you know, letting Facebook Live or like in a situation like today, a kind of extraordinary situations, yes, it is okay to do so. But when we're talking about on a regular basis, that would be something that is in actually a violation of the Word of God. And that's something that we really need to really lock in on. Yeah, I was still trying to find that. Be patient, please, if you don't mind. Yeah, so anyway, I really want to encourage you to remember that and to be encouraged by that. And if you are in Christ Jesus, you know, there is I finally found it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So that's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews 10, 25. We'll start with verse 19. Thank you for your patience, Word of Life. Verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is the flesh, in verse 21, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Verse 24, and let us consider, now he's saying this again, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. People were dying, people were being killed, they were assembling in houses. They were having house churches. They were meeting in houses. And Nero's men were going in there and killing people. And they were scared to assemble. And he was still saying, hold fast without wavering. Here we are. We're not under any threat in not coming to church. Verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, because some people have started doing and stopped coming to church, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So not only should we take any time off of church, but we ought to be willing to want to assemble even more and more. And so when he says, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, that is a command that we are to follow. And really, if you are in Christ Jesus, you are to want to be around the people of God. The Amplified says, not forsaking our meeting together as believers for worship and instruction, which is what church is, which is what fellowship is, which is what our worship is. Again, out of the Amplified, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking, not neglecting, not doing our meeting together as believers for worship and instruction, as is the habit of some. Don't let that be. If you miss one, try to get back. If you're sick, you're sick. You know, some things, you know, you shouldn't come if you're sick. Use common sense. But he's saying, as is the habit of some, because you can miss one and it become a habit, comma. But encourage one another. And so all the more faithfully as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. There are those who use that excuse, even those that are even in my own family, who use that excuse that just don't, there just isn't a need to go to church. You know, I'm good. I got mine. I read my scriptures. I do my thing. I live right. I'm doing this, that, and the other. But yet this verse clearly says that you're not to forsake that. And so that's why Facebook Live or any, or just CDs are never to be a substitute, because it's not about you, just you. Yes, you're getting the word, but what about the Lord working through you to help somebody else who's hurting and who has attended church that day? That's why we are to become, we are to get together more and more, and don't let it become a habit that we don't get there. There are other folks that need your God's help through you, that God has commissioned his help to come to that person through you. Amen. So having said that, I just want to make that clear. And whether or not the Lord has us to start this, we'll see. But we want to follow his will and his guidance and his direction in Jesus' name. All right, until Wednesday, Lord be to God. Until then, may the Lord watch between you and I as we care for one another, in Jesus' name.
All for you today. This is a Fox 32 special report, Coronavirus Getting the Facts. Good day, Chicago. It is Monday, March 16th. I'm Sylvia Perez, and I'll be joined by Anita Padilla and Scott Schneider throughout the morning. We are not sitting on the desk together in keeping with our own social distancing efforts, but welcome to the 9 o'clock hour. We are going to get you caught up on all angles of the coronavirus pandemic, including how local bars and restaurants are preparing to cope. I'm Roseanne Tejas in River North. Chicago area restaurants are